Hello and welcome to this, the inaugural edition of the Simply DV podcast. My name's Colin D, founder and editor of Simply DV, and in future editions of this podcast, I'll be the one to be giving you reviews, news, and hopefully lots of really useful information to help you in choosing and using your digital camcorder. Plus, advice on what to do with the material once you've shot it in a computer, and also tips on how to share it with the wider world on either DVD, via the web, or even a podcast, who knows. In this first edition, what I want to do is to talk to you about the Panasonic SDR S150. Up until now on Simply DV, we've used text and images on the web page to give you an in-depth review of a particular camcorder. And as of this very first podcast, that will change, because what I want to do is to complement the text-based reviews with a podcast review, initially in audio, but very soon in video as well, so stay tuned. And don't forget, click that subscribe button in iTunes or whatever in order that you automatically receive the latest edition of the podcast. Okay, enough of the housekeeping and on with the review. I'm looking at the Panasonic SDR S150 SD media camera. Now, if you have your eye on the market, you'll know already that it wasn't that long ago that Panasonic announced the slightly earlier version of this camera, namely the SDR S100, which was introduced at the beginning of 2006. That camera recorded not to tape, not to DVD, not even to HDD, but to an SD flash memory card inserted into the camera. And, yes, it produced very good DVD quality video to the SD card. The SDR S150, which is the camera I have in front of me right now, is slightly different in that it now takes advantage of the new format SD card, the high capacity Class 2 SD card, known as SDHC. Now, at the time of recording this podcast, it's possible to buy 4GB SDHC cards, although the theoretical ceiling is 32GB, and I have no doubt whatsoever that within a few short months, we'll be looking at cards with capacities of 8 or even 16GB that can be used in camcorders such as this. The cam itself is a very small handbag and or coat pocket sized device, a lovely design to it, easy to hold in a single hand. It uses 3 1/6-inch CCDs. Now, that in itself is quite remarkable because a lot of entry-level consumer camcorders use only a single CCD, and usually quite a small CCD at that, a 1/6-inch. So to have 3 CCDs in a camera of this size is actually quite a coup for Panasonic, and will no doubt be a primary reason for people looking at this over competing models. Not to say that there are many competing camcorders that record to SDHC cards. The fact that this camera has 3 CCDs means that the incoming light can be split down to its red, green and blue primary components, with each chip handling one of the primary colours. Now that's better for resolution, it's better for colour, and it's better for overall image definition as well. So the fact that the SDR S150 has 3 CCDs is a definite plus, even before we start looking at all the other stuff. Now, it's possible to record in both the 4:3 aspect ratio or the widescreen 16:9 aspect ratios using this camcorder. Now, the lens is a pretty impressive little Leica Dichomar lens with a 10:1 optical zoom ratio, power zoom ratio, and also digital zoom ratios from 25:1 up to 700:1. The 25:1 zoom ratio is, to be honest, reasonably fair given the fact that the magnification is achieved not by the relationship of the elements in the lens, as is the case with optical zooms, but more a digital magnification of the picture elements, the pixels, coming from the CCD itself. Now, digital zooms are not as good as optical zooms for that reason. But the 25:1 digital zoom on the SDR S150 is, to be fair, quite acceptable. However, we can't say the same for the 700:1 digital zoom. The digital magnification produces pretty highly pixelated images. In other words, an image consisting of quite large square boxes, and isn't much to write home about. And one does wonder why they include such things in camcorders. But the 25 times is not too bad. The microphone on this camcorder points upwards, The reason being that when you're holding it in normal use, and it is really a palm-sized device, if you were to hold the camera with three fingers around the front of the camera underneath the lens, you'd be covering the mic. So the mic points upwards. Also on the top of the camera is a pop-up LED flash that's for use when you're shooting digital stills to the SD card. It's not a video light though, so it's only used for stills. A number of functions and buttons and that exist on the body of the camcorder. On the outside, the right-hand side of the camera, you've got a dial which enables you to select the recording mode in either movie or stills mode, playback in movie and stills, and there's also another setting called the PC setting, which you should use when the camcorder is connected to either a Windows or a Apple Mac computer via the supplied USB 2 cable. USB 2 is the primary medium by which the files on the SD card in the camera are transferred to a computer and is used for both the movie mode and the digital stills mode. On the back of the camera, you've got in addition to the on-off switch, which is on the top of the shoulder, if you like, of the camera, we've also got a dial with two functions. The first function is as the zoom control. Twist it clockwise and you zoom in. Twist it anti-clockwise and you zoom out. It sounds a bit horrendous, but in actual practice is actually quite easy to use, and it's quite effective as well. When you're in playback mode, the dial is then used to vary the volume of the sound playback in the camera itself. Below it is a circular navigation button with arrows north, south, east and west. This is used primarily to navigate your way around the actually quite pleasing menu system. Panasonic has put a menu system into this camera, as indeed it has in some of its other models, that is nowhere near as complicated as the menu systems used to be. It's much more simple, it's much more user-friendly, and you can navigate your way up and down the options and then click left or right to move your way around the sub-options. When you need to make a decision, you just click the button that's in the middle of this circle. So it's all very nice and very convenient. The menu button itself is actually in the middle of the back of the camera. So you press that, then you get your options on the screen, then you can navigate your way around them, and it's all very easy. At the bottom of the rear of the camcorder is a button that enables you to select between auto and manual focus. If you flick it down, you're in manual mode, and then you can adjust the focus using the what I call the north, south, east, west navigation button. Press it to the left or right to adjust the focus accordingly. Also on the back is a rubber flap, which if you flip it upwards, which is what I'm doing now, you'll then have revealed to you three connecting sockets. The first one at the bottom is the DC input socket for the mains adapter and charger. The middle one is for the single multi-pin AV connector cable, which is supplied with the camera. Now, the plug that connects into here splits out to three RCA phono type connectors, yellow for video and red and white for right and left audio respectively, meaning that you can connect that up, plug it into a telly or a video recorder and watch or re-record what you've done in the camera. All very simple, all very easy. So the two main types of connection for this camera are USB 2 for the digital file transfer and the AV connections for the AV output. There are only outputs on this camcorder, no inputs, so you can't actually transfer files back into the camera. Also worthy of note is that there's no headphone socket and there's no microphone socket, but bearing in mind the intended market, they're probably not seen as priority anyway. Now, as well as providing the three CCDs that I mentioned earlier for improved image resolution, Panasonic has also included what it calls Mega OIS, in other words, optical image stabilization. Now, optical image stabilization differs from EIS, electronic image stabilization, in that it steadies out wobbly shots, such as when you're hand-holding on the end of a zoom, by manipulating the elements of the lens itself. So the stabilization is affected before the images hit the CCD. Electronic image stabilization, by comparison, is a form in which the data having hit the CCD is then managed by the system. It's pretty good, as we're seeing on a lot of recently released cameras, but it's not as good as OIS. So the inclusion of a good optical image stabilization system on the SDR S150 is another plus. So you're getting not just three CDs, but you're getting good OIS as well. Now, at this stage, I should point out that there are some fundamental differences between cameras of this type and DV camcorders or digital 8 cameras that record to tape. When you're recording a DV stream to tape, you're recording something that is, by comparison, uncompressed. It's not strictly true. It is subject to some compression. But the recording quality and the image quality that you get from DV tape is going to be much better simply because there's a lot more data involved in building each of the frames. When you're writing a video sequence to either DVD or hard disk drive or to, as in this case, an SD media card, you can't record a DV stream without relying upon a very fast data transfer rate and also a huge amount of storage space. It simply isn't possible, and current technology does not facilitate it. So what has to be done is that we have to pretty heavily compress that incoming video stream into something that is more manageable and which can be stored in much smaller spaces. So in exactly the same way as your commercial DVD disc optimizes MPEG-2 recording as the means by which very good quality images can be squeezed into a small space on the disc, so tapeless video camcorders such as this SDR-S150 use MPEG-2 as their primary video compression format. MPEG-2 is consistent with what you would see on DVD. When you're shooting good material in good light, in optimum conditions, the picture quality is very good indeed. And, of course, that's where the three CCDs on this particular model come into play. Where the problems arise are if, for instance, you want to undertake pretty complex, frame-accurate video editing on a computer later. If you want that degree of control over the material that you're shooting, where you literally want to edit on the frame, then you really ought to be looking at DV, mini DV or digital 8 or something like that at the moment. Things will change in the near future, I'm sure. But at the moment, if you want accurate editing, you really ought to be shooting on DV. However, media cameras such as this, and also DVD cameras, HDD cameras and so on, are in the main targeted at and bought by people who don't seek to undertake really detailed, really accurate editing. What they're looking for, and perhaps this is you, is the means to simply delete the clips you don't want within the camcorder itself, and then at a later stage, just tidy up those clips that you have at the front and the back. MPEG-2, as a digital recording format, facilitates that quite easily, and does so in a way that you don't lose any of the quality at all, providing that you're cutting it in a simple way. So it's important to look at the market for which cameras like this are intended. And bearing in mind that market, I think that the SDR-S150 is really very good indeed. When recording to the flash media card, it's perhaps obvious to say that the higher the capacity of the card, the more recording you will be able to make. You can use any SD card in there, but obviously you need to be looking at something in excess of a gigabyte before having the ability to record any reasonable amount of material. The current range of SDHC cards that are available from Panasonic and others now make it possible to record 4 gigabytes of material. Now, when you consider that the type of DVD disc that's commonly used in modern DVD camcorders is 1.4 gigabytes for 30 minutes of high-quality recording, you start to see that the potential of 4 gigabytes in the currently available SDHC, that's Secure Digital High Capacity Class 2 SD cards, starts to open up a whole new world of possibilities. And of course, there's no moving parts at all. You can also shoot stills with the 150 in three JPEG settings, the largest of which is 2048 by 1512 pixels. The cam can be used as a webcam with connection via USB. Software is provided by Panasonic for that. And the other interesting thing is that Panasonic also provides software which enables you to download the movie and the still clips to an Apple Mac computer as well as a PC. But in terms of video, the one thing you'll find is that iMovie will be incapable of doing anything with the video, the MPEG-2 video clips that are produced by this camera. So you do need some software in between to make a conversion at the very least. It's not as good as it should be. And in actual fact, I'd really like to see Apple making some inroads into this area, because the shooting of MPEG-2 is going to be more and more common, even though MPEG-4 is on the horizon. And it's a source of great confusion to people who have bought DVD or HDD camcorders, who then find that they can't easily edit their material on an Apple Mac. So that's a problem for Apple to consider. Whether or not they are, I don't know. And that's basically it. What do I think of it? Well, I've recorded quite a lot of material with the S150 in all manner of lighting conditions. Given that the camcorder doesn't have a mic input, it doesn't have a headphone output, I don't think that that's such a major problem for the target market for this camera. I guess the intended user for an SD video camera of this sort is the casual home user who just wants a nice little gadget to take on holiday or to take to a party or to take out on a day trip or record the kids playing around in the garden, that kind of thing. I don't think it necessarily needs a mic input, and I don't think it necessarily needs a headphone output either. If you're into serious uses, you're going to buy a suitably equipped camera, and you'll probably be recording on DV as well. All in all, the picture quality is really very good. I've only been shooting in widescreen mode, and I've been shooting in brightly lit exteriors. The resulting images are really impressive, really very good. Even using the camera with its very simplified controls is a pleasure. Bringing it indoors, it's surprising how well the camera shoots in low light situations, to be honest. It's got a macro lens, which means that it can focus on something virtually touching the lens and produce a really well resolved image. And even when you're shooting in darker corners, the images are very acceptable. They're not perfect, but then it's unreasonable to expect a consumer camcorder to be perfect. The images are very acceptable, and most consumers, especially those looking for such a camcorder for leisure uses, are going to find the images totally perfect, and the sound's pretty good as well. The fact that the sound is pointing upwards doesn't seem to make a lot of difference, to be honest, although I have to question the inclusion of the zoom microphone utility, which means that when the lens is zoomed in, the mic is supposed to produce sound that follows the picture, so the sound itself should effectively zoom in as well. I didn't find much evidence of that, to be honest, but, you know, it's a useful little gimmick, I guess, although I'm not sure how useful it is. All in all, then, I'm very pleased with it. The fact that we're recording to a tapeless medium is a good one. Panasonic has done well to include three CCDs. It's done well to include optical image stabilization with the camera, and it's done well to provide the means to record to the high-capacity SD cards as well. USB 2 connectivity is a definite plus, and what you get for your money is actually quite a lot. And on the basis of that, I would say that using our thumbs measurement system, where zero thumbs is not very good and five thumbs is very good indeed, I'd have to conclude that I give it five thumbs, to be honest. And I can't say fairer than that. Okay, so that concludes the first Simply DV podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. One final word before we go is to add a note of thanks to Pinnacle. We've used Pinnacle Podcast Factory to make this podcast. What you get in the box is a very good M-Audio microphone. You also get a very good M-Audio analog-to-digital converter box, which takes an XLR output from the microphone and feeds an input to the computer via USB 2. What's also pretty good is that it works with either Windows PCs or Apple Macs. And the included Audacity software can be loaded on a computer of either operating system. And for your information, this podcast has been recorded using Audacity on an Apple Mac. If you like the sound of this podcast, then Pinnacle Podcast Factory can take part of the credit. So, thanks to Pinnacle, thanks to you for listening, and this is Colin Barrett from Simply DV saying, see you next time.